continue in our study of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. Before we come to the communion table this morning, and one of the intriguing things about this passage to me, which I had never really zeroed in on until I was studying this again, you know what? As Christians, we're obligated to grow in the Lord. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just, it would be great to do. This passage is going to teach us that we're obligated to grow. You're obligated to know the Word. You're obligated to submit. And the same words, well, I'll get into that when we get here. Because it is really, when you tie the three major passages dealing with this word obligation, it's an amazing linking. So we'll take a look at this. It says, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil." Isn't that what we just read out of 2 Peter? That his last words to us is, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, one of the things we see with Paul with the Galatians, as the author of Hebrews is very disappointed. Now, I want to remind you that a whole generation has passed since Jesus had been crucified. The writer of Hebrews is writing in the 60s, and Jesus was crucified in 33 AD, so a whole generation's grown up. And so when Jesus, remember, passed the torch on to the apostles, he expected growth. Not only numerical growth, but spiritual growth. Now remember, God was constantly disappointed in Israel, who'd come out of the Exodus, out of Egypt. And he's constantly have to send warnings and prophets and punishment on them for following idols and not growing. Matter of fact, right before the exile, Ezekiel writes, you know, quoting the Lord, he says, You've never left your idols from Egypt. And that was 9 centuries earlier. Now, one thing in biology, remember, if you were taught in school, of course, they don't teach much real biology anymore. It's those things that don't grow, die. So if your tree stops growing, it's going to die. You know. And so the same thing in your body, once the cells no longer can reproduce, right, the body dies. Your blood cells are totally renewed every 7 years. So the blood cells you have now are different than all the blood cells you had 7 years ago. Totally renewed. But once that stops, you die. And that's the same spiritually. If we are not spiritually growing, we begin to wither. And that's exactly what the writer's talking about here. He said that at this time you ought to be teachers. That's that word, ought, obligated. The word of fellow in the Greek, to owe a debt, you're placed under an obligation. We are obligated to grow in Christ. That's an if you're a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're obligated to grow. It's not, I'm saved, whoopee, I sit down. Or I'm saved, whoopee, I'm going to go do what I want to do. No. You're obligated to grow. You know, be a doer of the word is not just a suggestion. You know, study to show yourselves approved is not just a suggestion. You're obligated to that. And so, in the whole idea, Titus chapter 2, 1 through 5, is that as you grow in Jesus Christ, you're able to go mentor younger Christians, you know, like Paul with Timothy, that they might grow, that they might in turn, what? Do what? Turn around and teach others as well. That's the whole process of multiplication. And so we're obligated to become more spiritual. You know, someone once said that some people have 40 years experience and some people have 1 year experience 40 times. They never grow. And that's what it says also in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about church leaders. Deacons and elders are supposed to be apt to teach, right? I mean, the whole idea of being a leader is that you transfer what you know. Now listen, we quite often we use the word teachers, and it is used in that way in some aspects, for example, in 1 Corinthians 12, as someone formally teaching, but everybody who's in Christ is to be a teacher, being able to pass on not only their testimony, but the knowledge that they gain from the Word of God and share their experience of how the Lord's worked through that, right? We're obligated to do that. And so they have been believers long enough, they should be teaching others. But they're not doing so. Now, those people who refuse to grow are actually a drag on the church. I remember one of my boys, I won't say which one, out kayaking, all of a sudden he quit paddling in his boat. So not only, you know, we're above Great Falls. I said, oh boy. So I tied a rope to his and to my kayak, and I am towing him. So he was a what? Yeah, he was a drag on my boat. Matter of fact, I had to keep looking back. He kept falling asleep. I'm afraid he was going to lose the paddle too. Yeah. And so you're either rowing, you know, with the saints of the Lord, or you are a drag, dragging them back, you know? And so he said, by this time, matter of fact, one of the things a mentor wants to do is being able to pass on the knowledge so that person can take over in his place, right? That's that whole renewal idea. I remember I once worked for when I was in a Christian school teaching, didn't make a whole lot of money. I worked part-time for in a children's shoe store, and the son was taking over the business, and he just ruined the business within a couple of years and went into bankruptcy. Because what the father was trying to teach the son was not transferring. The guy was arrogant and self-assured and self-important, and he destroyed the business. And so the whole idea in Christianity is that we're transferring this over. And so the writer said, listen, having been believers for many years, for being believers for that long, you know very little doctrine. Matter of fact, the things that you did know, you've forgotten. You know very little of the principles. You know very little but how a mature believer should act. You know very little about this. See, I want you to understand this word obligated. This word obligation means that once the obligation is placed, you're accountable for it. You know, when someone gives you a job, whether you're in the military or whatever else, when they give you the job, not only are you to do the job, but you're going to be accountable for how you, what, did the job. If it fell through the cracks. And that's the big, one of the big stories out of the Maui fire. It was failure at many different levels, and a lot of people died. Including putting roadblocks up so people couldn't get out and send them back into the fire. There has to be some kind of accountability. And so, so when we stand before the Lord, 1 Corinthians 3, and our works are judged, a lot of the wood, hay, and stubble is the fact that we did not fulfill our obligation. And by the way, it's not what you know that you're going to be accountable for, it's what you should have known. Because it's right here in the Word of God, right? You know, say, well, I don't remember that. Well, did you look at my Word? It's right there. And so God can use only, listen, God can only use us to the proportion that we are prepared. If we have not grown in our maturity, he can't use it very much. Said, boy, I would like to use you to, you know, help this person, to help this person, and to lead this. I can't. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. By this time, the writer of Hebrews is saying, I shouldn't even have to write this letter. You should be taken off on your own. I shouldn't have to keep coming back and redoing this. I remember the pastor before me, we had for a very short time, a pastor between me and the founder, Pastor Baker. He said, the ministry is like balancing plates on a pole and you're spinning. As soon as you get to the 10th one, you got to run back and start the other one spinning again. And you know, in other words, you have to keep going back to the same people and restarting them. That shouldn't be to some point that the people should be self-starters in this. And so God can only use us to the portion of which we have grown. And so not to be equipped is not to be useful. That's what happens when, in sports, they have to keep going back to the fundamentals. That's why they have to keep practicing the same thing over and over again that they've been practicing since they were in Little League or Porter League over and over again. You still have professionals who are not doing what they're supposed to do, you know. I've listened to a number of games that the Nationals play, and here you have a pitcher, and ground ball to first base, what's the first thing a pitcher's supposed to do? Those that know baseball. Yeah, cover first. Well, several times they stood on the mound watching. This is a professional pitcher. Well, that's why they have to keep going back to the fundamental. This is how you do a double play. This is what base you throw to. Everything else, the same thing. Why do you think they keep sending the mechanics and technicians back to school to learn the same things? Because after a while, they get sloppy in there and forget the fundamentals. Don't take shortcuts. And so, same thing here is the fact that we need to continue going back to the fundamentals. That's why he says here in the passage, you know, those things, truths that you were taught, you got to be taught again. You've forgotten them. You know, when you go back and say, you know, that's why when we study the Word of God, you might have studied the same passage over and over again. But you have to keep refreshing yourself in these passages, because if you do not remember them and do not use them, you will forget them, right? And so the Word has to be constantly reviewed. And we cannot learn something once and then say we've mastered it. Be nice to do that. Doesn't happen that way. That's why the Ephesian church was told, Revelation chapter 2, He says, you know, you're doing all these things that are good. You're checking out those people who claim to be prophets, apostles, that are not, stuff. But I have something against you. You've left your first love. I want you to go. Listen what he says. I want you to go back and do the first. Remember where you're fallen and go back and do the first works. In other words, you're going down to, but you've forgotten the fundamentals. You've forgotten the basics. He said, you're still sucking on spiritual milk. After 20-some years, you're still sucking on spiritual milk. The Greek word here is galactose. Sound familiar? You know, lactate, lactose, lactating, all those come from this word here. It means milk. How about that? It means milk. He says, when you should be eating adult food by now. I mean, it's something wrong if you have a five-year-old sitting at the table just wanting milk, right? I mean, by that point, they should be eating what the rest of the adults are eating, right? And so they're just sucking on milk. Believers should grow to know sound doctrine and the principles where you should be. Now, you don't have to have a, you know, PhD in theology, but you should know the basic truths of the scriptures. They're not that hard. And should be living them out. And so to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, this is what Peter had said. Now believers who've been saved for 20 years, who are still asking questions that they learned in the first class of discipleship when they first got saved, there's something wrong. Should grow beyond that, right? It should be beyond that point that you don't, you know, keep asking the same thing over and over that you should have learned when you first became a Christian. And so without a good understanding of the Word of God and its references and its meanings, how can you apply it? We are all unskilled in the witnessing to others and helping others grow when we ourselves do not have answers to give them, right? You cannot give them something that you do not have. You know, that's what someone said, you can't give it away if you yourself don't have it. It's kind of interesting when Gene and I redid our will because I think all our kids are grown now. It turned out from a 4-page will to a 29-page will because of all the legalities. And one of the clauses was an indemption clause. I said, what's an indemption clause? Now listen, get this. It says, I can not give away anything I no longer own. Well, that sounds logical. I mean, everything else. Well, that's the same thing in the spiritual world. You cannot give away the gospel and its principles if you don't own it yourself. And so it comes to a point where he's saying, listen, he's frustrated. Matter of fact, he's you know, as he said last week, he says, there's a lot of things I would have liked to teach you, but I can't. You're not at that point. And I think we're the poorer for it, too. We'd like to know what he was going to say. He says, I can't. You haven't mastered these things. And so the story is told of a preacher, a brand new preacher, in church. He preached a great message, and he really loved it. The next week, he preached the same message. And the next week, he preached the same message. And after the third, the elders got together and said, well, you keep preaching the same message. I said, well, when you do something about the first message, I'll preach another one. Now, that's not the way it works. but that's the point. I have to keep going over the same thing over and over and over again. See, solid food is for the mature. Just as children begin to eat full meals, a mature believer needs to learn greater truths. In order to eat nourishing food, it must be sought after, prepared, and consumed. You must say, I want that. And just like the body and the mind, fitness, our spirits must also be exercised. By the way, the word exercise here is the Greek word that we get our word gymnasium from. It comes from this word. So if you wanted to be fit physically, you exercise, right? You walk, or you're part of the gym. I know it's a foreign concept, but I mean, it's a bicycle, or the weights, and you exercise. Well, he said, just like you want to be physically fit, and if you want to be mentally fit, you read and do things to keep your mind active. He said, you need to be spiritually fit. You need to be in the Word of God. Study to show you're proud. Meditate on the Word of God. He said, you need to be spirit. You need to want that. Now, how many in here, I don't have to show your hands, but how many here love exercise? Well, most of us really aren't excited about that. I mean, my least favorite training when I was in officer's training was that 1.5 mile run, to do the, when you get up at 5:30 in the morning and do the calisthenics and all that stuff. That wasn't my favorite part of the training. But physical fitness has a necessity involved in it. Well, that's why he's saying the spiritual fitness. You know, Paul said physical fitness, helps a little, but spiritual much more. And so here we have, just like bodily exercise, Bible study, Bible memorization, meditating on Scripture, and following it, are spiritually important. We're obligated to do it. Christians do not grow naturally over time. Doesn't work that way. Okay, I'm a Christian. Just give me everything I need to know. What did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes 12? Study is what? Weariness of the flesh. It's hard. It's exercise. He said, but we need to learn to exercise our spirituality by consuming the Word of God and applying it. And be fully aware that this is what we need and to go after it. Not only to go after it, but be excited to go after it because we know that it will benefit us. And so the acuteness of a spiritually driven believer discerns the battle between good and evil. You are able to stand up and articulate, this is wrong, right? This is right. You're able to do that because you're in tune. The Holy Spirit can use it. By the way, the Holy Spirit cannot use in you what you don't have. He uses the Word of God to prompt you. And we move from dullness of mind to a sharp focus. And we develop a keen courage. You know, one of the things that you'll know that you're beginning down the path is if you're really exceptionally curious about the Word of God, that you really want to find answers, that you're really seeking. Say, man, do you have a passion for it? Say, I just can't get enough of this in the Word of God and seeking His will. You know, every time someone call Albert Einstein a genius, I'm not a genius, I'm just incredibly curious. He was also a genius, by the way. But but that's what we need to be about the Word of God. Are we incredibly curious about the Word of God? Are we incredibly curious about what God has for us and the things that He can use us because we're involved? A devotional level Christian is never going to grow very fast. Those people take the daily bread and read the passage and pray a simple prayer and everything else. That's not studying the Word of God. You know, I've had people over the years saying, well, how do you do this? I said, well, one way you can do this is sit down with a book, Romans or Philippians or whatever, take out a notebook and start reading through and taking notes. Okay, this is it. And then you look at the cross references in your Bible, and you go read it, and you write down everything else. You know, and I'm going to try to help you. I've taken my notes, my preaching notes over the last 40 years, and I begin to put it in Bible study form. The book of Romans should come out, workbook should come out by the end of this year or beginning next. We're going to use that on a Wednesday night to help you in that, where you study a passage and you go to the passages that relate to it and you fill it out, everything else, and that to help guide you. But you should be able to do that naturally. Well, I want to know what the book of Philippians says. So I'm going to sit down, I'm going to stay on the notebook, I'm going to sit down with the Bible, and I'm going to go through the book of Philippians and take this. This is what I'm getting out of this, and I'm going to look up the passages that are related to it, you know, that's in my reference Bible. And I go over, by the way, none of the old guys had these reference Bibles, and go over there, and I'm going to learn that, and you'll start to grow. See, reading the Bible is good. Studying the Bible is better. Meditating on the Bible is best. That's what we need to be doing. And that's why the writer of Hebrews is frustrated that they're not growing. To develop a keen passion for the Word of God. There's a major difference between a daily devotional and someone who studies their Bible every day. A devotional is just taking nibbles. Studying the Word of God is consuming a meal. You got to decide which type of Christian you want to be. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the time we've had to look here. We see the writer of Hebrews who's really concerned for the spiritual growth of the people who are receiving this letter. And he really is concerned that after all these years, they're still kind of at the starting block. And Lord, many of us are the same way. We're at the starting block. That we haven't really grown the way we should, and we're obligated to do that. We'd be accountable to do that. And Lord, help us and teach us how to have a passion for the Word of God and a passion for the will of God and a passion for serving and witnessing. And Lord, that you might be honored in our lives, Lord, and use us in a way that will glorify your name. And Lord, as we come before the communion this day, Lord, may everything that we see in this passage, we meditate upon and commit ourselves to grow more in the Word of God and more faithful to serving you through the understanding of the Word of God, Lord, that your name might be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. Amen.